Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Amen. The sermon is titled, How to Beat the Blues. The expression, the blues, it's an old expression. It's an expression that speaks to a sense of feeling kind of low, feeling down, perhaps a little discouraged or depressed. All of us, most all of us at one time or another, have a moment of feeling down just a little bit, a moment of having the blues. And sometimes we're not really sure why. We just feel low. We feel down. We feel sort of out of sorts, sort of melancholy, if you would. Perhaps you've heard somebody say, well, I've got the rainy day blues. We know what that means. It means a moment of discouragement. We don't doubt God's existence. We don't doubt His reality. But we just begin to wonder why some of our prayers aren't answered. We cry out for His help, often in desperation. But it seems like He doesn't hear us. And so we cry and we pray. We read the Bible. But we're often left with this feeling or sensation that we're just feeling empty and unfulfilled. Or we claim the promises of God. We believe in honest, childlike faith. But then doubt begins to just creep in. And Satan begins to whisper to us. And he says, nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to work. And in spite of our prayers and our faith and trust, it just seems like nothing changes. And we begin to feel a dryness in our spirits. And again, Satan begins to whisper to us and he says, just quit. Just give up. David was going through such a time in his life. And he felt all alone. He felt overwhelmed. We have this scripture for you in Psalm 44, verses 23 and 24. Awake! Why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise! Do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. According to the Bible, Job was an incredible man of faith in God's sight. Yet Job came to that point in his life where he wanted to give up, didn't he? Job was convinced that God knew where he was, that God knew what he was going through, and yet he still couldn't enter in and feel God's presence in his life. It is written, by the way, in the book of Job, we have this scripture for you, Job 23 in verse 8 and 9. Look at these words of Job. Look, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. Job was saying, I know God is there someplace, looking down on me. I know he knows my concerns, but yet, in spite of all of that, I can't feel him. I can't find him. Sometimes the blues are accompanied by a spiritual dry spell. Do you ever go through a dry spell like that and it seems like you have no yearning to read the Word of God, but you do it more out of a sense of obligation? We go through that season and we feel dry and empty, and we feel little compulsion to pray. Our faith is intact. We love Jesus. There's no desire in our heart for the things of the world, but it just seems like we can't connect with God. It seems like we can't feel His presence. And in those days and weeks, we just have a sense of a spiritual dryness. The blues, the spiritual dry spells, moments of discouragement. They're very poor witnesses, by the way. They're poor witnesses for the power and the life of Christ in us. They're very poor witnesses. So to overcome these seasons in our life, I'm going to encourage you with four steps that we must take. And the first one, number one, is claim the promises of God. Claim the promises of God. In 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, they're precious, aren't they? That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. See, the blues and the dry spells, if we're not careful, they'll cause us begin to kind of wallow in the trough of despondency. We've all had those moments. We wallow in the trough of despondency when we should be claiming the promises of the Word of God for our lives. His Word, His promises, they stir our hearts. They lift our spirits. And they give rise to faith and confidence that God is with us. That Jesus is with us. I have a little book that was given to me over 30 years ago when Sherry and I were leaving Tulsa, Oklahoma to go to Alabama. Some dear friends gave it to me. It's written by Thomas Nelson Publishers. And the title of that little book is Precious Bible Promises. I don't think it's in publication anymore. You might still can find it on eBay or Amazon, but it would be used. The Precious Bible Promises book, it takes every promise in the Word of God and it categorizes them all together. So whether it's for spiritual growth or forgiving or obedience or concern for others or God's will or fear or loneliness or salvation or guilt or suffering or finances or stress or our children or peace or sickness, whatever it is, there's the promise from the Word of God. God speaking to our hearts and our lives by His Word, by His promises. Oh, the Bible's full of promises for you and me that we can stand on and claim those promises no matter what our current situation might be. I'll also tell you that one of the best answers for times of battling the blues is to do something for someone else. Because there's a promise in the Word of God when we do that. It's found in Luke 6 and 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use it, will be measured back to you. Y'all believe that word? If we begin to act on that promise, it'll begin to change our spirit and it'll begin to take away the blues that we're dealing with. There was an old farmer. He was driving his Model T. Called them Tin Lizzies back in the day. He was driving his Model T and the engine was roaring and the radiator was hissing and he was creeping along at about 25 miles an hour. He was headed for home. And as he's going down the road, suddenly he sees on the side of the road a beautiful new car. It's on the side of the road. It's got some kind of engine trouble. The hood of that shiny car is up, and the chauffeur, that gives you a tip right away, doesn't it? The chauffeur is at the front of the car looking down at the engine. Well, with the sound of his squeaking brakes, the old farmer brought his Tin Lizzie to a halt, and he hollered at him, and he says, "What's wrong?" And the owner still seated in the back seat of the car, the owner said, "I don't know. I think we've got some kind of engine trouble." Well, the farmer took a look and quickly he said that he would tow that fine new car to the garage 7 miles down the road. And the stranger in the back of that car looked at him and says, "You're going to tow me to the garage with that?" Pointing to his old Model T. And the farmer says, "Yes, you'll see." He got out of his old Tin Lizzie and got his rope and tied it up to that fancy new car. And before you knew it, he was pulling it down the road 7 miles to the garage. When they got to the garage, the owner of that car got out and he says, "Sir, what do I owe you?" And the old farmer quickly responded. He said, "Nothing. It's a sorry day if we can't help each other out without being paid for it. No, sir, you give me nothing. Glad to help you. Have a good day." Well, he jumped in his little tin Lizzie and puttered down the road going home. Well, the owner of that gleaming new car, he began to quietly repeat to himself those words. "It's a sorry day if we can't help each other without being paid for it." Well, over time, the old farmer's Model T finally bit the dust and it was given a resting place in the junkyard. And the very next day, the farmer was surprised to find a brand new Ford in the driveway of his home. He walked out to inspect that brand new Ford and look at that beautiful new interior, and he saw a message that had been written on a little label tied to the steering wheel. And on that steering wheel message were these words, "It's a sorry day if we can't help each other without being paid for it." You see, the owner of that fine new car that the farmer had towed with his tin Lizzie was none other than the great manufacturer, the great industrialist, Henry Ford. And Henry Ford was so fascinated to see one of his early models still working so hard towing his brand new car. He was so impressed that he made arrangements at the local garage with the local garage owner to let him know when that old farmer's Model T had finally bit the dust, so he could present that farmer with a brand new Ford. The power of kindness is immeasurable. The fact remains that every action done for others, giving of ourselves, sooner or later returns good dividends. Sooner or later. When we do good to those around us, then we can be certain that we'll receive a reward, an eternal reward for sure. And sometimes we'll even receive an immediate reward. And the reward is the lifting of those melancholy feelings. It's the lifting of those rainy day blues. I'll tell you, nothing dissipates the blues like doing something for somebody else, without any idea of what God can give back to you. So claim the promises of God. Secondly, we're going to reclaim the presence of God. Oh, hear me, church. Reclaim the presence of God. James 4 and 8, what a promise this is. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. You have to purpose in your heart. You have to make a determined commitment. I am going to draw near to God. I've said it just recently, that old expression of praying through. When we get at the altar, in the church, or at home, wherever it may be, and we just have this commitment, this mindset, I'm not getting up until I break through. I'm not getting up until I can pray and feel a breakthrough in the presence of God. But sadly, when discouragement strikes, often what happens is that we begin to neglect to pray. And when we neglect to pray, then there is a lack of fellowship with God. And that lack of fellowship then causes us to drift away from Him just a little bit more. Let me just remind you of this truth. Could anyone here in this room deny our own children when they're desperate for us? Can anyone deny our own children when they're calling out for us and needing just to be with us? No, of course we couldn't. God can't either. He can't deny that desire for us to be in relationship with Him, to feel His presence, to reach out in faith. Romans 8 and 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. See, keeping a spirit of prayer glorifies God. Sometimes I find myself praying, and my prayer is just going down the long list of prayer requests. And I'm praying for all the needs and the requests that I'm aware of. And that, sadly, can become my only time of praying. There's nothing wrong. In fact, it's a wonderful thing to pray for the other needs, to pray for others, and to pray over that prayer list, to call out those names. It's an incredible, wonderful, critical thing to do. But that cannot be our only thing we do when we pray. Because we have to just get quiet sometimes and just shut up before God and allow His Holy Spirit to quietly begin to minister to us, begin to speak to our hearts by His Spirit, begin to have this sense of fellowship with us, and we've got to just get quiet before God and wait on God is what the Word of God tells us. And that prayer time shouldn't be just only naming off all the things we're praying for, but letting God minister to our spirit, spirit upon spirit, as we begin to thank Him and worship Him and praise Him. A spirit of prayer. His presence assures victory over the blues. His presence assures victory over that sense of discouragement. And it enables us then to be a blessing to other people, doesn't it? Number three. Proclaim the power of God. This scripture, I love it. Isaiah 40:29. He gives what? Power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. His power created the universe, didn't it? His power created the heavens. His power created you and me. His power resurrected Jesus from the grave. His power never changed. On our sign, it makes reference to Jesus. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We say yes, amen to that scripture. Malachi, or Malachi, if you want to pronounce it the correct way. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. He's unchanging. By proclaiming God's power, we declare our faith. And faith is the victory that overcomes, isn't it? It's faith. It's the weapon that enables you and me through God's power to beat the blues. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Were you born of God? Are you born again? There's a promise there that says, whatever is born of God, what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I will tell you, we are overcomers if we know Jesus as our Savior. We are not defeated. We are what? We are overcomers. Because we know Christ. We must proclaim the power of God. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That wonderful promise that says, I can do all things through what? Through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That great verse in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you believe that today? He's with us. We are overcomers. Praise God. Finally, the fourth thing we do is exclaim the praises of God. Psalm 42:11, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. The help of my countenance and my God. I'll tell you, you cannot be discouraged. You cannot have the blues. You cannot be melancholy if you're praising God. If you begin to think of all the things that He's done for you, if you begin to think of all the times He's been there for you, and you get your mind off the immediate issue or problem or thing that might be bringing you down, if you can just begin to think of all the times that God blessed you and touched you and lifted your spirit and met your need and cause you to reach out in faith and praise Him. When you begin to thank Him for all those things, a thankful heart, a heart full of praise, there is no room for the blues. There is no room for discouragement, because we remember to call on all His blessings. As His children, we do not need to be defeated by the blues. We can beat this issue. We can beat this discouragement, this sense of melancholiness, by claiming God's promises, by reclaiming His presence, by proclaiming His power, and by exclaiming His praises. And if we do, if we take those four steps and apply them, I'll tell you what, you will begin to hear His still, small voice. Your spirit will begin to have the knowledge that He abides in you and His Word is in you. And your heart will begin to feel His warmth. The flow of God's presence will begin to feel where you are, the room that you're in. And tears that have been bottled up inside will find release as you begin to just weep and humble yourself before God. And the joy of Jesus will begin to rush through the corridors of your mind and your heart. And the peace of God will begin to rise up inside of you. And there will be no doubt that God has chosen to come and to commune with you and to confirm one more time how precious you are to Him. And you are. And to confirm one more time how much He loves you. How much He's concerned for you. How much He knows your situation. And that dry spell, the blues, the melancholy, will end as rivers of water within you begin to flow in you and flow out of you by the power of His Holy Spirit. That is His promise to us as believers today. Oh, praise God, in the midst of great trouble, that great example of Job that we referenced earlier, I love these words of Job when he finally declared, after all he had gone through, all of his doubt, all of his uncertainty, at the very end of it, you remember these words. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and He shall stand at last on the earth, and I know in my flesh I shall see God. I'm going to tell you something today as Christians. We know our Redeemer lives. Jesus is not in that grave. He's the risen Savior. And someday He's going to come and stand on this earth. He's going to bring us with Him. Amen? And we know we will see Him. We will. I'm telling you, whatever you're facing today, whatever the issue is, there is a hope, there is a promise. It is the heart of the gospel. We will see Christ. We will see Him. We will behold Him. We will be with Him. Oh God, let that eternal, wonderful truth fill our spirits and strengthen us today. We receive it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please bow your heads with me this morning? Oh, Father, I pray this morning that by your Holy Spirit, that hearts and minds in this place that's gone through a sense of the blues or melancholy or discouragement, Father, by your Spirit, lift us and bless us and love us and let that anointing fill the mind and the heart of the eternal promises and truths from the Word of God. Let us stand on those truths. Remind us that we are your children, that we are joint heirs with Jesus. God, remind us of how much you love us. That cross is such a great reminder of your love for us. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment, if you're here, I'm not going to ask anybody to step out, or I'm not going to embarrass anyone. But you say, Pastor, I've really been dealing with the blues, with discouragement, with despondency. And I'm just going to lift my hand. By lifting my hand, I'm saying, I'm trusting God today to meet this need, and I'm asking you for your prayer. If that's your heart's cry, would you just lift your hand for a moment this morning? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Father, by your power and by your Spirit and by your word, let faith arise. Oh, God, give us victory in this place today. God, give us victory in Jesus, in victory, Father, that we are overcomers because of your promises and your power that is in us today. Father, the hands that went up in this place that represent hearts that are in battle, Lord, I pray, I plead the blood of Jesus, I pray for victory by your hand and by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Please stand with me today, and let's sing that song that Mike is playing. I love that song.